Dagny Maguire is a current Youth Initiative sophomore who would fill a swimming pool with cranberry juice if given the chance, but would not drink it all at once. Dagny's Meet Me Halfway story will be told in three parts, and Dagny wants to assure you that it turns out well in the end.
Hi, I'm Dagny, and the story I'm going to tell, like he said, it's in three parts, so you might be like, where is this going? And we'll get there. It started a long time ago. I was young, maybe like 6, 7, 8, in that range. And in this time, the world was very, I don't know, I want to say stupid, but like, it was around. And my family, we lived in northeast Missouri, and we had just settled in, and everything was finally falling into place. And my parents read this article in the paper, and it was talking about like the climate crisis and the struggle, and they were like, "What is this? Like, what's going on?" And then they finally they looked into it and they realized "Oh my gosh, this is not okay," and the world is dying, and so they were restless. They didn't know what to do, and I just remember seeing them and watching them, and they were literally pacing the house, trying to do something with their time, rather than be sitting here doing nothing while the earth is struggling. and so we decided, they decided, I was all for it, but they decided to walk all the way up to Canada, Pickle Lake, Ontario, Canada. And you might be like, what? What is going on? And that's a good question. We went to this flea market, and we got this little rickshaw wagon to be pulled by a bike. And we built a beautiful Conestoga wagon with these beautiful Amish wheels. It was wonderful. And we got two miniature donkeys, and we walked. We just went outside, and we started walking. It was more plain than that, but it was, And we were going to do 1,000 miles, because 1,000, I'm forgetting, never mind. but yeah, we were going to do 1,000 miles. Right from our doorstep to Pickle Lake, Ontario was exactly 1,000 miles. And we set out. The donkeys didn't work out. They were too slow. But we were going. And I remember it was really discouraging, because everywhere we would go, nobody cared. With my parents, they would be like, "Oh, what are you doing? What is this?" And they, for me at the time, I thought we were doing great. I thought everybody really cared, but they weren't. They didn't care about the situation. They cared about "Oh, you guys are cute. Oh, have fun. Oh, look at you." And looking back on it now, it's discouraging and frustrating. But then it was, I don't know. And it was really funny to see the adults not knowing what was going on, but just seeing sometimes how they pretend to seem old. and I remember there was this one parade that we were in, and I don't know how we got in it, but we were in this parade. Right before my story takes place, I think, in Iowa, and we were handing out little flyers, just informational flyers, and I was tasked with handing them to the kids, and so I handed them to the kids, and I'd be like, "Show this to your parents," and then their parents would be like, "Oh, what's that, sweetie?" And I would look them in the eyes, and I would go, "You need to get your act together," and they'd be like, "What?" And I'd be like, "It's your fault that the world is dying, and I'm going to have to grow up in this messed up place." And then they would kind of look at me like, "Oh, okay." And I would just skip along and to do the next conversation. But it's just so, like, funny and weird and, ooh, I don't know, that and it's crazy to look at how much people have changed and how much that has become a little bit of a norm or a trend or to, like, care so much about global warming and that type of thing. But once we got to our destination, it has a very funny name. We were camping. We were walking and camping. And we got our campground, nobody believes me on this, but I'm certain that it's true, was called Nipplewort Loop. And I'm like positive. I had a diary at the time, and I wrote that in the diary. And it was, oh my goodness, it was so fun. And I had some bad experiences there, but I loved it there. And little details, I remember these like very specific things. There was like this playground that was the most fun. It was like there was a slide, maybe, not even a swing, just like a slide and a little ladder. It was boring, but it was so fun. And like instead of wood chips or like sand that you'd have in a normal playground, they had agates, like little rocks. And I just like filled my pockets with them every time that I went to the playground. And there was beautiful trails for biking. It was so fun. And yeah, I just have very fond memories of that place, and it was so beautiful. And so I was really excited that we got to be there, and sad when we had to leave. So one day when we went out to do our walking, went out to do our walking, and we packed everything in our vegetable oil truck. And we started walking, and Gavin drove the truck ahead, which he normally does. And then he biked back to us. We were walking with the wagons. And I remember I was pulling a wagon with my brother in the back, and my other little brother was pulling a wagon with my sister in the back, and my mom was walking with us, and she videoed us. There's a little recording. Anybody wants to see it, you can talk to me after. and it was this cute little interview. I don't remember it exactly, but I've seen it lots of times. And my brother's singing Imagine Dragons in the back, and my siblings are doing a story adventure. They're really cool. And my mom's just talking to me about like the trip, and it was super cool. But it was a very hot day, and we were very tired, and I was pulling a wagon with people in it. And we averaged about 10 miles a day walking. But today seemed pretty long. It was very long. And once we got to our destination for the day, we reached our limit. It was getting a little bit late. And so we got to the truck, and we got in, and I was so tired. I was so tired. And right before we got to the campground, I said, I'm going to take a nap as soon as we get home. And that's what I do. I get home, not home, but to the campground, and I make a beeline for the tent. And I get into the tent, and I want to be cozy. It had started raining a little bit, and it was just like, it sounded so beautiful in the tent. And it made me feel like really happy and peaceful and tired. And so I didn't want to go in my sleeping bag. I wanted to go in something smaller. So I went in my little brother's sleeping bag, and I curled up the smallest I've ever been in the bottom of the sleeping bag, like a perfect sphere of human. And that's what I was. And I fell asleep instantly, just like, boom, I was out. And that's where the story ends for me, basically. But since hearing this story, I have more insight. My mom, I did not sleep as a kid. I did, but I was an energetic child. So my mom didn't like register that I said I was going to take a nap. Or she did, and she was like, what? That's not, like, okay, sure. And so after a little while, she called all the kids in for dinner, and she was like, where's Sagni? And they were all like, I don't know, we haven't seen her. And so panic set in, like, oh no, where is Dagny? I was this tiny little girl. If someone was like, hey, come get some candy from my van, I'd be like, of course. So she was worried. There was a lake nearby. Like, anything could have happened. And so we got the whole campground to look for me. Like, and there was hundreds of people at the campground. All of them were screaming, Dagny, Dagny, looking for me. There was police officers everywhere. Like, it was like a big deal. There was like a lockdown. And like, there's so many parents in here. If your child has been missing for like this many hours in like the middle of nowhere, it's gonna be terrifying. And the place, I was like 100 feet away from my mom the whole time, but I was in the tent, and the tent has been checked multiple times. The tent had been checked by my mom. The tent had been checked by my siblings and the police. The police had come in and checked the tent, moved everything, like searched the tent top to bottom, and did not find me. So when I woke up, my brother stepped on me. He was coming in to take a nap. He was tired. And he stepped on me because I was in his sleeping bag. And I poked my head out. I was like, oh, what's up, Simon? And he was like, oh, my God. and I went outside. It was raining a little bit harder. And I looked around, and I was like, why are there so many people by our campsite? And then my mom saw me, and she ran over, and she was like, oh, my God, like, where were you? Are you okay? And I was like, yeah, I was taking a nap. And then, like, and she was just like, oh, my God. And then she started crying, and I was sobbing because there was, like, police cars everywhere. And I don't remember seeing any police officers, but, like, the lights were just very scary. And there were so many people, and everyone was coming up to me and, like, are you okay? And I was like, I don't know. I was, like, little. I didn't know what was going on. And I just remember crying and being scared. And then I said, you know what? I want ice cream. Like, that would make me feel better. And so my mom was like, okay, yeah, whatever you want. Like, at this point, yes. And we went to Applebee's. And we ate. I ate so much. I don't think I've ever eaten that much in my life. It was crazy. It was fun. But from that experience, I just, like, when I'm going to take a nap, people know, I say, I'm going to take a nap, and I go fall asleep in the open.